And we say it here at Hope a lot, and we mean it. We don't believe it's an accident that you found yourself here at Hope, at worship this evening. We believe that God called you here. Whether that was very willing that you came, or whether you came kicking and screaming, whether that was something that you were looking and you were excited to, or if that was something you said, yeah, but the playoffs are happening right now, and I can't miss the playoffs. What, regardless of the circumstances that brought you here, we believe that God had a hand in that. And we believe that God has brought all of us together, brings all of us together continually, on purpose, for a purpose, for a reason, that God could do something and is doing something in us and through us. And for some of you, this may be your first time that you're here at Hope. And you may have walked in today and you may say, man, this place just, it seems large, it seems huge, it seems like a place that I don't know if I could ever find my place, my niche, my groove, a place where I could find community. And that's why we're doing what we're doing this year, here at Hope, every year. And some of you, this is going to be the third week in a row that you've heard this. But for some of you, this is your first time that you've been here to worship since we've started this new year, 2017. And it's kind of like when you walk into a conversation that's already been started and you feel like you never know what's going on, but you came in at a time where you don't feel comfortable asking, what are we doing or what are you talking about? Every year at Hope, we have a theme that runs throughout the course of the year. That everything kind of falls under that umbrella. That we have something that guides us, that directs us. That we pray, God, where are you calling us as a church? Where is your spirit moving? And this year at Hope, the theme is to know and to be known. We believe that in a world that can be fragmented, in a world, in lives that sometimes get so busy that it's hard to make relationships, when there are so many different ways in which we connect with one another, sometimes it feels like we don't have the ability to connect with anybody on a deeper level. So as a church, this entire year, we're going to focus on what does it mean to know and to be known by God. You may say, well, that's the reason why I don't come to church in the first place. I feel that God is impersonal. I feel that God is intangible. Well, we want to talk about that this year. Because we have a God who is incredibly personable and a God who's incredibly tangible. A God who is so tangible that he showed up in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived, who gave his life on a cross, whose spirit was given to us so that we could have his power and his presence among us all the time, that we celebrated with Margaret's baptism. But not only that we would know and be known by God, but that we would know and be known by one another. Here at Hope, we get large on the weekends, or services like our Christmas Eve or our Easter services, but everything else is done in small to medium-sized groups. And I truly believe that at the end of this year, we will know each other a lot better. And I believe if we know each other a lot better as a church, that we're going to start to know each other a lot better as a community, as a city, as a metropolitan area. And I believe that when we know each other, and we know each other's strengths, and we know each other's weaknesses, and we know what it means to live in communion, in community with one another, I believe that the change that's going to be experienced, the ripple effect of that change that's going to be experienced, it's going to leave this place different. Not because of what we do, but because of what God does. The beginning of this theme, we're in the third week of a series called Life Together. And it's based on this book that was written by a guy by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Bonhoeffer was a pastor in the 40s. He was a pastor, a German pastor, who actually was resistant to the movement of Nazi Germany. So much so that he was thrown into a concentration camp and he lost his life because of it. And Bonhoeffer was a pastor, he was an incredible theologian, he was also a prolific writer. And one of the signature pieces that Bonhoeffer left for us is this incredible book called Life Together, a very short book, but it's incredibly thick. And so 2 weeks ago in Bonhoeffer's Life Together, he talked about just the need for community and the fact that we've been created for community. Whether you feel that's you or whether you feel that that doesn't resemble you at all, that you say, well, I feel much better when I'm alone or when I'm isolated or when I'm away from people. No, we are created to be in community. And we find our rhythm and we find our stride when we're starting to live life with other people. We looked at what happened at the birth of the church. At the birth of the church, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on all the people who had gathered there, there was this incredibly curious community that developed. And it was a community that wasn't based on the fact that they all came from the same place or the fact that they had the same background or had the same affinity for passions or recreations or things that they liked or any of the things that we sometimes lump each other into groups about. But this community that had been called together, that had been created through Jesus, through the power of His Spirit, was one that was held together by the grace and love of Jesus Christ. That in fact, when our community is based on something that's bigger, when our community is based on grace, the fact that we are one body made up of many parts, we start to experience the gift of it and the beauty of the intricacy of each individual person. Last week, we talked about the fact that we find harmony in community, despite all of our differences. We find harmony in community because, well, it's based on love. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, there are three things that will last forever. There are three gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are three gifts that will last forever. There's faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Because it doesn't seek its own will. Because it seeks to serve, to give, to offer, to do what's best for the interest of all. And in that, we find harmony. We looked at Paul's letter to the Colossians. And Paul says, above all else, above anything else, clothe yourselves with love. Literally, put it on as if it were a garment that would wrap you, that would envelop you. And when we do that, and when we focus on that, and when we set our eyes on things above that, Paul will say, so that we find that really, the things that would divide us aren't nearly as powerful as the one thing that unites us. Well, as we continue on in this look at doing life together, we find this curious turn that Bonhoeffer takes. That in fact, in order to do life together, we need to be able to do life apart. It's the joy of solitude. That in fact, in order to be healthy in community, we need to find health on our own. That sometimes when community and when relationships are so based on one another, we become enmeshed that we start to fool ourselves as if that other person or those people can give us that which will fill us up. And in that, well, we'll always end up disappointed because we're all human. And solitude and community are dependent on one another. That they literally bleed into one another. They literally mesh with one another quite well. That the time alone is something that charges us and recharges us in order to be healthy in community. And the health in community reminds us of the importance to find joy in solitude. But it can be very difficult in a world that's filled with noise. whether we find ourselves in a place where we're surrounded by people or we're isolated from people. We live in a world that's noisy. We live in a world that has this constant hum that happens all the time. We're in front of a screen, we're in front of a TV, we're surrounded by people, we're busying ourselves. That we literally become terrified by silence. As if being apart or being alone or being quiet is somehow haunting to us. Now, for others, you hear the joy of solitude and you're saying amen to that. Because I don't really like people that much. And given the choice to be with people or to be on my own, thank you very much. I'll be alone each and every single opportunity that I have. But that's not what Bonhoeffer is getting at. That's not what solitude, that's not what silence, that's not what quiet is all about. It's not that. What we label that as is whether you're an introvert or an extrovert. Last Saturday, my family and I, my wife, my son Trey, my daughter Jade, my family and I, we got to go to Florida, and it was a blast. And one of the things that was so fun is we kept it secret from our kids. Trey is 6 years old, Jade is, well, she'll be 5 in March. And so last Saturday morning, they woke up, and they came into our bedroom. We said, hey, we have a surprise for you. The bags are packed. Suitcases are packed, and in 2 hours, we're getting on an airplane, and we're going to Florida, and they started going crazy. And they're more excited about going on an airplane than they were about going to Florida, because they had no clue where it was or what it was. We said, hey, we're going, and so we were able to, as a family, we spent 5 days at a house that was located right next to a beach, where we were just away and apart from everyone. I mean, for me, I am somebody who is naturally introverted. Crowds scare me. When you're at a group or a gathering or around a big, large gathering of people, some of you find that like that's the most energizing experience you could ever have. Like small talk it's like your second language. That terrifies me. It makes me sweat because for me, I'm introverted. So for me, the time that we were able to spend away, that was the highlight for my trip. For my wife and my kids, who are incredible people, we spent one day at Disney where there was like a million people there. I mean, it was literally shoulder to shoulder the entire day, and we were there for 12 hours. And for Bridget and for the kids, that for them was the most incredible way for us to unplug or to plug in. And for me, I was like about 2 hours into it. I'm like, I need to go home. I'm like having a panic attack because there's so many people. But what Bonhoeffer is talking about is different than what kind of energizes us. Or what motivates us? Some of us are energized by time alone. Some of us are energized by being around other people. But the joy of solitude isn't what we do to unplug. Rather, it's what we do to plug in. It's what we do to find our strength. To find our identity, to find our purpose, to find out who we are, to be reminded of who we are. And all of us need to plug in to something. All of us do plug in to something. What do you do to recharge? What do you plug into? What gives you life? What gives you purpose? Because nothing, we've been created to plug in to something that's greater than what we could unplug from. Just want to do something out of curiosity. If you have a cell phone, I want you to take your cell phone out. Just take it out. I'm giving you permission to maybe check the Packers score on your phone during worship. But on your phone, you probably have, on the very top of your screen, you have a battery. I want you to look at what does your battery say? What percentage is it? Or maybe it's just a line. And some of you say, well, I have this much of my battery life remaining. I'm at 50%. Or some of you say, oh no, I've hardly been on my phone at all today. Or I just plugged my phone in on the way and I'm at 75%. Or some of you are chatty Cathy's and you're like 20% because you're on your phone all the time. You're checking it all the time. Now I want you to think about what that looks like in your life. Because sometimes we say, oh, I just, in order to refresh, in order to recharge, in order to renew, what I do is I just unplug. I just go and I get away, or I do something that's recreational to me. But that can't fill up your battery. That'd be like being at a 25% and say, well, if I just unplug my phone and leave it on the shelf, when I come back to it, it's going to be recharged. Well, even if we don't use the phone at all, what's going to happen to it after a few days? It's going to be dead. It's not going to have any life left in it at all. So often we say, well, just the key and the secret to life is just to live your life and shoot for those times where you can just unplug and to get away. But what Jesus is talking about, in the Bible reading that Tina just read for us, in Mark chapter 6, what Jesus is talking about is something that's far greater than just going to get away. To take a vacation. Jesus had sent out his disciples and he'd given them an incredible opportunity. He sent them out two by two and he said, go and cast out demons, go and heal the sick, and go and feed, go and do the things that you've seen me do. You've been part of this. You've watched what my kingdom, this kingdom that I've come to usher in, you've seen what it's all about. Now I'm giving you the opportunity and I'm giving you the charge to go out and do it yourself. And the disciples are amazed at what happens. They say, even the demons obey us when we use your name. I mean, they are charged up. They are ready to go. They couldn't be more excited at that moment. But Jesus says, now we need to go off and we need to rest for a while. I find that so interesting. I think about the fact that Jesus, in his time on earth, the Son of God, the one that God had sent into the world, that was the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who was the hope, the one who everything in all of creation had pointed towards, that person constantly found time to get away, not to unplug, but to plug in. Why? Because he knew that apart from his Father, he could do nothing. That he needed to be able to rest. That in order for him to do what he had been created and sent to do, he needed to constantly be in communion with the God who sent him into the world. It's the same with us. A lot of us have found ourselves in life 25% down. Sure, we go on vacations. Sure, we go on trips. Sure, we unplug. But it never feels like we get re-energized. It always feels like the tank is empty. We're running to stand still. And Jesus offers us something more. To get into the discipline of finding a time, a quiet place to rest, to be in relationship with God. When I was in high school, I know that my dad had done it before then, but every year, in the beginning of November, usually was about the time of the year that he would do it, my dad would go and he would take a trip, and he would go to this place called De Montreville. And at the beginning, when he would do it, I never really questioned it because I was a high school kid and I just really didn't think anywhere outside of myself. But every year, he'd go to De Montreville. I got into college. I started to ask him about it. It's a picture of the chapel at De Montreville. De Montreville, it's a Jesuit retreat house. It's located just outside of St. Paul, Minnesota, a place called Lake Elmo. And 50 weeks out of the year, they hold retreats from Thursday evening to Sunday evening. And I remember when my dad started telling me about it, he said, well, Jeremy, they're silent retreats. I thought, what do you mean silent? He said, well, Thursday at dinner, you go into silence, and you don't come out of that silence until Sunday. And I thought to myself, okay, now I know you're nuts. I always assumed it, but you're quiet from Thursday to Sunday? But every year it would get to be the end of October towards November, and he would talk about just the need that he had to go and to have this retreat, to have this place that he could go, not to unplug, but to plug in. So I went into ministry. And I was at a place, not just in my work life, but also in my social life, where I was just moving every which way all of the time. My dad told me, he said, you got to try it. Give it a shot. I remember being so scared. What if I get to like Friday afternoon and I just need to talk? I mean, am I going to go to my bedroom, put my face in my pillow and just scream? Be like, words, 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 words. I need to see words. I need to say words. But I got there. And it took me about 24 hours for the white noise to turn off. I mean, yeah, my mind was going every which way. But after that first day, all of a sudden, I started to experience something that I don't know if I can even put words to it. I'm not the type of person that says, well, God told me this or God told me that. I know the Spirit's presence in my life, and I can feel when that Spirit is moving and at work in my life. But the first time I went to De Montreville, I realized that I hadn't carved out any space or time. I always wondered why God wouldn't communicate with me like other people would talk, that God would communicate with them, but I realized that I never had any solitude for that communication to happen. And we all need that. Seasonally, weekly. That's why worship is so incredibly important. We don't just come and sing songs for the sake of singing songs and hearing a Bible reading because that's just what we have to do and that's just what church means. And we don't have a sermon because well, there's a person who needs to get up and give a sermon because that's just the ritual or the tradition or the way in which you do church. It's because we carve out some time each week and set it aside as mark it as holy. That's why Jesus gave us in the Ten Commandments, not some sort of a law that would impede us from experiencing life, but a law that would actually invite us and lead us to life. And God says in the commandments, he said, remember the Sabbath day. The Sabbath just isn't a day where we unplug from work. No, it's a time where we plug into God, where we anticipate and we expect to experience Him and to hear from Him. And we need quiet and we need space in order for that to happen. Read through a book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Watch the rhythm of Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Look at the rhythm of His life, always finding a way to plug in, to get away, to unplug so He could plug in to something that was so much more. So I don't know how I would even do that. I'm going to get really practical here for about 5 minutes. Because I think that quiet is a discipline that we've overlooked. We've lost it. We're so used to the noise that we don't know how to do it. I'm not talking at you. I'm talking with you. This is something that's hard for me. All of us. Whether we're introverts or extroverts, it's hard for us to be still. Psalmist says, be still and know that I'm God. It's hard for us to be still. Let me give you 3 simple steps to make this practice in your life. The first one, this comes out of Bonhoeffer's book. The first one is meditation on Scripture. Now, I know that meditation is a really intimidating word. You say, okay, well, meditate. Okay, you already lost me because I don't meditate. Replace meditation with focus. Take a scripture verse. Maybe the only scripture verse that you can remember off the top of your head, or I'll give you one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. And for a couple minutes, maybe just 2 minutes, 120 seconds, as best as you can, giving yourself grace to know that your mind is going to wander at times. Focus on it. Focus on one word of that scripture. Focus on the word love. For God so loved. And for 2 minutes, think about all the times in your life that you felt the most loved. Find the times in your life where you felt like you've been able to love the most or experience love the most, or where maybe the places and the people in your life that you see express love the most. And focus on that and sit with that. The second one, not just meditation on Scripture, but prayer. So I don't know how to pray. In our Alpha class, we talk about it. I can't encourage you enough to take Alpha. It starts right after this service, 6:30. We provide a meal, invite you just to check it out for tonight. If you don't like it, you don't have to come back next week. But prayer, if you want to know what prayer is, it's literally just talking to God. Imagine that God were sitting in a chair next to you, and tell Him everything that's going on. Your joys, your pains, your struggles, your fears, your worries. Think about the things that you don't know if you have the ability or the strength to tell anybody else in this world. Tell them to God. You don't have to carry those on your own. You see, in Paul's letter to the Philippians, He talks about the power of prayer, the power of literally laying everything we have and giving it over, handing it over, not meaning that it's not going to affect us or matter to us, that I'm just going to tell God about it and then it's not going to be an issue in my life any longer. No, it's still going to be there. But at least we know that there's somebody that we can express it to or vent it to. Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Reshape your worries into prayers. Tell God everything that you need and thank Him for everything that He's done. Think about the way that a little child speaks to their parents. There's no filter there, is there? They tell you everything that's going on. Meditate on Scripture. We pray. And we intercede. Intercessory time means literally lifting something up on behalf of somebody else. Who in your life is experiencing a difficult time? Think about the people maybe who have hurt you the most. Start to pray for them. Not pray, oh, God, strike them on the head with a lightning bolt. No, 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 pray. Ask that maybe God would open their eyes and their hearts. Have somebody that is going through an incredibly difficult time, lift them up. You know, a group of people who are experiencing fear, pray for them. You see people who you don't agree with, pray for them. Bonhoeffer talks about this in the chapter called A Day Alone, this chapter on solitude. He says it's really hard to be mad at people that you're praying for. Kind of shows us one of the reasons why solitude is such an important part of community, doesn't it? We can't be healthy with each other unless we work on our health on our own. Bonhoeffer says in Life Together, he says, silence is the simple stillness of the individual under the word of God. It's the simple stillness of the individual under God's word, which is the only thing that has the ability to give us the life that the world can't quench. All who are hungry, come to me, Jesus says. All who are thirsty, come to me. All who are weary, come to me. It's the joy that's found in the stillness. So as we get ready to close this evening, before we sing our last song together, I invite you to stand. It's not very often that we get the opportunity to take a minute of uninterrupted quiet. Thank God for what He's done. Tell Him what you need. To be still and to know that He is God and He is here and He is with us. He'll never forsake us. The peaks and the valleys and everything in between. Would you join me in a word of prayer? So we be still as we quiet ourselves before God. God, we thank You. We thank You for the gift of silence. Being able to be quiet. God, and it's in our quiet, it's in our stillness. God, sometimes that it can feel uncomfortable. But God, give us the ability to create the rhythm in our lives, to create the space. God, maybe to close our mouths so we can hear your voice. God, we thank you for the gift of community, and the opportunity that we have to be with one another. But God, as we go through this year, as we seek to know and to be known by one another, God, first and foremost, we want to know and be known by you. So God, as we close in worship tonight, may your presence blow through this place so that we could feel you with every breath we take. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. And everybody said, amen.